I'm Sonia Morton Firth, and today you're watching The Sonia Morton Firth Show. I'm really excited because my guest today is Yannis Fleming, also known as Mr. Sport. Yannis has taken Instagram by storm with his controversial views on fad diets, Herbalife, and detox. Yannis gives regular tips on nutrition to lots of publications out there, and he also helps MMA fighters with their nutrition before their fights. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Yannis to the Sonia Morton Firth Show. Yannis, thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Thank you for having me, Sonia.
Yannis, tell me about your journey. What got you into nutrition? And how did you get the name Mr. Sport?
It's an interesting story. I've always been involved in sport from a young age, and you know, I knew when I left school that I wanted to be involved as a coach of some kind. So I went to college, I went to uni, started off as a tennis coach, and then I really found a passion for nutrition. I started giving tips online, and one of my close friends actually from my area basically saved me in his phone as Mr. Sport, because I was involved in loads of different sports at the time, helping with their nutrition. And then, yeah, that's how it started, really. That's where Mr. Sport came from, and that's where I decided to go with the brand.
It's great. But what makes you different? Because there's a lot of people out there that talk about nutrition, well, not just today, it has done forever. What makes you different to a lot of people out there?
I think, aside from maybe my personality, and I can be a bit controversial, I think it's just the fact that, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything. I try to be as honest as possible with, you know, with the tips and with the advice that's given. And I try to keep things as evidence-based as possible and not chat a lot of shit, you know, like a lot of the people in this industry. So I'm hoping that's what it is.
I mean, you built your name on controversy. Let's just talk about that for a moment. So, Joe Wicks, obviously, has made it really through Instagram and talking about nutrition and his recipes. Is that who you're sort of basing yourself on? What are your views of Joe?
I like Joe. I think I have two you know, opinions on Joe Wicks. I think firstly, he's helping people to move more and spend more time in the kitchen cooking, and that's only a good thing. You know, you can't discredit him for that. But I do think finally agreeing that calories are a science and you know, and backtracking on your words after making 15 million is a little bit of, I have an issue with that. But like I said, Joe's done more good than bad. I don't think he's actually done much bad. But I don't consider Joe as, without sounding like a bit of a dick, I don't consider me and Joe is a marketing platform. You know, he has got a management team behind him, and he is the face of the brand. I don't actually think he knows potentially like what he's been discrediting in the past in the nutrition industry.
Yeah.
So I don't think me and Joe are very similar. So no, I don't base myself off Joe. I think he is a commercial guy. I think that's what he is. I don't think he perhaps knows the ins and outs of the industry like some of the other coaches that, you know, that are out there that are doing great things.
So in terms of that, I mean, don't you think the whole industry is very commercial? I mean, you look at the diets, and I know you're quite vocal on some of the diets as well that are out there, but it is all about money. A lot of it is about money. Yeah, yeah. I'd say the majority of the population, without wanting to say most of the population are pretty stupid, but they believe that just drinking a shake or, you know, drinking a cup of tea is going to make you slim.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you know, I've looked at your Instagram posts and I literally have been in floods of laughter.
No.
But beneath that, there is a serious note. Of course there is.
Yeah, I think it's a lack of education. And you know, I'm the first to moan at people when they come at me with stupid questions. But the thing is,
everyone does, right? And I hate to say this, I bet it's a lot of women as well that say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of men and women. They're mainly women with fat loss and mainly men with building muscle. But it's not their fault. You know, when you don't teach this fundamental area of nutrition, you start to get these stupid questions. That's why no one, That's why understanding things like energy balance, calories, understanding fat loss, how to gain and lose weight, isn't fundamental knowledge. You know, it's not commercial knowledge. What's going around is, oh, you know, I cut out fats, I cut out sugar, I cut out carbs, I go on a detox diet. There's all these different diets, and it's just adding to the confusion rather than understanding the fundamental, the underlying science, which is just energy balance, calories.
So energy balance. Okay, let's talk about this energy balance. As you know, my background, I've been on stage and I've done physique competitions, and I love nutrition. I'm just obsessed with it, really interested in it. But it actually just boils down to something really simple, and people don't get it. Tell me about this energy balance.
Well, I think what confuses people is when you see a bodybuilder in the gym, he's ripped, he's in shape, and then he's talking about all this bro science stuff, you know, like, oh, I do fasted cardio, it burns more fat, yeah. Which, by the way, it really doesn't. That's why I look the way I look. And people see that as evidence, and they think, oh, well, he's in shape, so it must work. And I think that is... whether or not they're aware that they are in a calorie deficit, consuming fewer calories than they burn, they just over confuse it by saying, you know, oh, faster cardio, or I eat six smaller meals a day rather than three meals. It's just, I think that's where the confusion comes from. People seeing an aesthetic body and being like, well, he's in shape, so that's why, you know. So.
But then in the same light, certainly when I was younger, talking a few years ago, it was all the rage just to eat next to nothing, take a few slimming pills, and actually great, it was a great way to say slim.
Not very sustainable.
And I don't think I could have carried on like that. And you wash it down with a few vodkas in the evening and yeah, you're great. And some cigarettes as well, just to stave off the hunger.
That's a great diet.
I lived on that for literally 5 years when I first came to London. I was living in the city. And I bet there are so many people that are doing that still today. Recipe for disaster.
It is.
What's the best diet out there?
There is no best diet, Sonia. There is no best diet. I think, if you look at what's known as these blue zones in the world where, you know, they have the highest rate of living, of health.
Like the Mediterranean, 100. Yeah.
Exactly. They all have fundamental variables to their diet. You know, they have a lean source of protein. They have lots of plants, lots of fibrous plants in there, drink lots of water. But that's just one element of it. These people also get a lot of sun exposure. They're also social, you know, they socialize a lot, so they've got less stress. They smoke less. There's other variables to this, but in terms of a diet, there is no one way to do it. Some people in Asia who have lived, you know, live well past 100 in Okinawa in Japan, their main source of protein is pork, and you wouldn't have thought.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say raw fish or like.
No, but that's what's funny. In Greece, it's more fish. In Italy, it's more seafood. Mm. But like I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat, so there is no best diet. Essentially, it depends on the individual, and there's other factors to health and then just what you eat. You know, I don't want to.
Okay, so other factors. So, I guess, you know, I mentioned my habits when I was in my 20s, and I'd say quite a lot of people do that. And I think the older I've got, I've realised I've got to get serious about your health. Because the older you get, you want to live older. We're all living older today. And if you don't look after yourself when you're young, you're not going to get to that ripe old age. If you're talking about living life, and having fun, because you mentioned having fun is great.
Yeah.
Where does alcohol come into that? And actually, let's chuck drugs in there. Maybe smoking as well.
I'm an advocate of moderation. I'm not this... clean eating freak. I have a drink. I've been impartial to parties and whatnot. But like you say, it's moderation. You know, anything in excess is bad. And we've even seen in the diet world when people go a bit too restrictive with their diet, it leads to disordered eating, ruins their relationship with food. So anything really in excess is bad, you know?
So you say people can't, like if you're on your, because you've got a website and you've got courses, people can have a drink on those?
Of course. My style of coaching is to is based on their individualized lifestyle. It's not something like Slimming World or Weight Watchers or fucking Joe Wick's plan where, you know, you're all one size fits all, follow this plan and you'll lose weight. It's based on you and your lifestyle because, let's be honest, a parent of three kids is living a different life to a businessman who spends most of his time, you know, in the office. It's very different people. We're living different lives, so they require a different approach.
And is there anywhere, like, people that are watching, either watching this because they know you and think you're, you know, obviously heard the controversy around a lot of the stuff you said.
Yeah.
Well, there might be a few people out there that want a few quick tips, or maybe not quick tips, but is there any quick solution to losing weight? You know, why? I mean, we've got a country that I would say is pretty, we've got a fat country, right?
It's
teenagers. I went out the other night, I was at the theatre, and it was great. I was watching Mel B giving a live show, and she was fantastic.
Yeah.
But a lot of the audience, there was a lot of fat people, and I was really surprised, because in London, because people are moving about, and there tends to be less, I think, less obese people in the capital than there is outside.
It's a combination of people wanting convenience now. You know, you've got apps like Just Eat and Uber Eats. You know, that's where the money is. If I created an app tomorrow that would teleport your food right onto your plate, you're going to be expending less energy. You're going to be, you know, getting takeaways more often. And that's partly the problem. And also the other part is a lack of education. People don't know what the fuck they're doing, because you've got shows like This Morning spouting nonsense and people online confusing people for profit rather than actually trying to make a difference.
It's interesting. So you mentioned This Morning spouting some nonsense. I mean, not just This Morning. I mean, there's a lot in the media that it does spout nonsense. But is that why are people? I mean, I think the example that you use, and I know it's on your Instagram about a lady. We won't name names, but and she was basically saying, go to the gym and don't eat anything, and you're going to burn more fat. That was pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, she was an insulin. You've got these insulin fiends at the moment in the industry that think, you know, training fasted and avoiding carbs and whatnot. So, yeah.
Avoiding carbs. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my friends will sit there and go, oh, I don't do carbs after 7 o'clock. And it's like, well, the carb doesn't know it's 7 o'clock.
What the fuck?
It doesn't make any difference what time you eat it if you've overeaten that day.
Yeah.
But where do we get these? I mean, they are really stupid notions when people believe them.
Just bullshit studies. Silly studies that are blown way out of proportion. So the study was on that element was to do with people that tend to eat later in the day tend to have worse eating habits, which means they eat more, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the calories they're eating in the evening get turned into fat. That's not how it works. That's where that came from.
Let's talk about something that's really quite true to my heart, the bodybuilding industry. I think I mentioned before, I have competed a couple of times, and there's a lot of stuff out there in terms of protein, BCAAs, I mean, you name it. Well, I mean, in terms of BCAAs and protein shakes, I mean, I take whey powder.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of people say, why are you doing that?
It's just powdered food.
Yeah.
It's just powdered food.
But for me, it's an easy, and it tastes nice. It's an easy way to get my protein up rather than eat a chicken breast.
Exactly. That's all it is. There's not really much to say about it. It's powdered food. It's a choice. It's the same as going vegan, or it's the same as buying organic food. It's a lifestyle choice. If you choose to buy protein powder because it's convenient and you're a busy lady, Sonia, and you think, I'm not hitting my protein requirements, then fair enough, you can do that, you know. It's no different than, as you say, a chicken breast. It's powdered food, protein powder.
You mentioned vegan, and I have to touch on that topic. Not touch on it. Everyone seems to be going vegan at the moment.
Yeah.
What are your views?
I think if you go vegan for if you're going vegan for the animals, if you feel like that's the reason why you're going vegan, fine. You can't fault someone for that.
I absolutely agree.
If you're going vegan for health and for whatnot, like I said, the blue zones, 5 of them in the world, everyone living longer than 100, not one of those blue zones is vegan. So, you know, they all, you can be healthy and vegan, you can be healthy and not vegan, you know, but I think if you're going to go vegan, you do it for the animals, you don't do it for any health.
Yeah, do it for the right reasons.
Do it for the right reasons, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a very good point. So any vegans out there, if you're doing it because of the animals.
I have vegans on my plan, as much as I banter a little bit with. It's mainly the vegans who are preachy and preaching stuff, like we spoke about earlier, you know, about the whole What the Health documentary saying eggs are as bad as cigarettes. That's just fucking stupid. Yeah. Let's be honest, that's not legit.
I have 3 eggs every day.
Yeah, you had it this morning, you told me.
Yeah, and I feel great on them.
So that they're the vegans that I bash. They're the vegans that I'm saying, look, you know, don't fearmonger, you know. But if you go vegan because you care about the little piggies and whatnot, then it's a good reason to.
Yeah, very. So. Very. I like that, the little piggies. but at the end of the day, there is so much information out there. But isn't it all about mindset anyway?
Yeah, you've got to be in the right mindset.
So talk to me about your mindset and where you were at when you're really successful on Instagram, you become like a success. You're really, really entertaining. And I think, you know, if anyone hasn't seen your Instagram post, we'll put all of that in the show notes. But, you know, you're getting your message across in quite easy, understandable ways. And if people actually watch you rather than listen to mainstream media, they might actually look great, lose a bit of weight and feel better. But the mindset, I think, is something that is quite an interesting topic to talk about.
Yeah, I think growing up, I always, as I said, I always knew I wanted to be involved in sport or exercise, health, that element, that branch. But, you know, I don't think I'm any different to anyone. I don't think I'm anything special, but I always grew up with a dream or with a passion or wanting to figure out what it is I want to do with my life, you know? People like me, I've struggled in the past going through life without having a purpose, something that gets me out of bed in the morning.
But it's quite interesting you say that, because how old are you? I don't mind me asking.
How old do I look? 26. I'm 26.
And to come out with that, that's pretty powerful. That you want to look at your purpose and your passion.
Well, of course, you know, what's the point in great. Living otherwise, you know?
You're absolutely right. That's what I talk about. You know, this is all about purpose and passion.
Yeah, so I didn't know what it was that, I started uni, I wanted to be a tennis coach, then I wanted to do something else, and eventually it led me to nutrition, and I always struggled with education, with learning, but nutrition for me just clicked, it just made sense, and while I'm, you know, I think it's savage that I've walked into an industry where people are just so misled and confused, I'm also kind of grateful that it's provided me with the platform to be able to educate people, because for me it's common sense. You know, it's just common sense. Some of the stuff I'm saying is, I feel like everyone should know this stuff, but they don't. But I am grateful that it's provided me with a purpose, a sense of something to get me out of bed in the morning and help people, you know.
So I think that's, if you can see that and you're helping other people, that's amazing.
Well, that's where the platform Instagram, you know, you said about growing Instagram, that's where it comes from. You know, too many people now, too many people are going on Instagram, posting pictures of their asses, hoping to get likes and stuff. And that's not really, you know, if that's what you're doing social media for, yeah, it might work out in the short term. But for a lot of people, it doesn't.
So you're trying to get your message out on social media.
I'm trying to make a difference. I'm trying to educate and entertain, I suppose.
Entertain. Okay, on that note, entertain, tell me about your alter ego, because there's a couple of videos on there that have cracked me up.
Which one? Nicole?
You want to know? Nicole, please. I know you haven't got your wig with you, but where did Nicole come from?
So, when I first started, Nicole was actually, she was called Linda. She was actually called Linda.
Oh, you changed her name. You didn't like Linda, went to Nicole.
No,
okay.
We went to Nicole. I thought Nicole was a better name.
Sorry, anyone out there that's called Linda.
But Linda, for me, was like your stereotypical, like housewife, she cares for her family, she cooks for the kids, she doesn't really know much about nutrition because she's been misled, so she ends up joining Slimming World, where she's stuck in this cycle of paying into something she's not actually been educated for, Herbalife and whatnot. So I created this idea of Linda to try and dispel, you know, it's a bit of a stereotype, I don't want to go against any, you know, mothers out there, but I used it as a way to sort of dispel some of these myths that your common Linda, you know, someone you would think who says, oh, I cut out carbs. That's such a Linda comment.
Yeah,
so that's where that came from.
Oh, great.
I use the alter egos for a bit of entertainment.
I think they're fantastic. They're great. You should be on stage and set up your own show.
Wig.
bring your wig next time. But actually, on Slimming World, because I, you know, again, knowing people that have been on that, I think it's less about what they say, but I think the fact that it works is because you're in a community and you've got that, it's almost like it's that accountability.
Exactly. Yep. That's the word.
And that's accountability. That's what works. It's not necessarily what they're telling you.
I have no issue with Slimming World at all.
Yeah.
The only issue I have is why confuse a calorie deficit? Why confuse portion control? You know, people, what's weird is people can eat as much pasta, or they could at the time eat as much pasta as they want, but there's no portion control there. And an avocado is how many sins, I don't know how many it is, but it's just ridiculous. There's no education.
Yeah.
And of course they were funded by Miller Lite, which was sin-free for a while, wasn't it? Oh, why is that sin-free?
Is it Miller Lite?
Yeah, really? Because they were funded by them. And I have issues with platforms like that misleading people rather than just educating them, because they want to keep you in that money trap.
It's about commercialism. So actually, the diet trap, it's all about money, right?
It's to keep you hooked. You know, and the amount of women I have that, you know, come and see me and they've done Slimming World and they get upset about scale weight. And you know, as a woman, hormones, you know, whether or not you've gone to the toilet before you've weighed yourself.
Oh God, that's such a hot topic. I mean, we could go with that. That's definitely a different show, but yes.
Just things like that. Is it
the time of the day you weigh yourself? Yeah. Have you had a drink of water?
Anything? Yeah, things like carbohydrates, so salt, so sodium, you know, all of that can play into your weight relative to the scale. So, yeah, you know, oh, I've gained a pound. It's like, mate, come on, you've had a slice of pizza with your family yesterday and you had a great night.
Yeah.
But you're upset now because you gained a pound.
You haven't been to the loo yet. Like, you know, it's just simple things like that.
But they don't know any better, and that's what's deep. That's what's savage about it.
Okay, do you think we've been brainwashed? Because I honestly think that we are being brainwashed. All these diets, detox, Herbalife, just been brainwashed.
Well, I don't think we should call Herbalife and detoxing, you know, we shouldn't call it that. We should call them the piss and shit diet, because that's what they are. That's what it is. You know, detoxing, there's no such thing. Your liver and kidneys, you know, if you understand basic human physiology, your liver and kidneys do the detoxing. So if you're taking a detox juice, it's essentially just a glorified diuretic. It's just a piss and shit diet. And anyone can lose weight drinking piss and eating shit. but yeah, to answer your question, we have been brainwashed. Yeah, and it's because it's a 200, the supplement industry, especially, is, I think it's $250 billion industry. That's a lot of money.
So do you take supplements? Do you think it's a good thing to take supplements?
Yeah, if they're evidence based, they're backed by science. Yeah, I think there are some great supplements, like we said, protein powder.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
Fish oil's
great, yeah, if you get the right one.
Yeah.
There's loads of great vitamin, you know, supplementing vitamins, that's not my issue. My issue is when you take things like Boo Tea and, you know, like Herbalife, these dangerous supplements, which are
Slimming tea. Basically a
laxative. Yeah, just fat burners, which is basically just a caffeine pill to stop you from eating. See, it all leads to the same thing, calorie deficit, energy balance. But no one tells them this, do they?
But actually, if I was sitting here and saying this to you, I would say, well, I do lose weight on it.
Yeah, because you eat less calories. You take a caffeine pill, it doesn't directly burn fat, does it? It stops you from putting more calories in your gob.
Do you know how many crazy people are out there that are maybe slimming for a holiday or a wedding, and they go, just give me the diet, I'll do whatever it takes to lose weight to get into that wedding dress or to be in a bikini on the beach.
Yeah.
And they'll do any crazy shit that comes their way, right? They'll do any diet that...
But then they end up losing their tits as well, so there's no point being in that bikini. You know what I'm saying? If you take a sustainable approach, you lose the right amount of weight, you lose the fat, you look good. Do you know what I mean? If you start cutting out carbs, you start going on the piss and shit diet, you end up losing your tits, you look like shit. So then you go on the beach, and you may as well have just not dieted, because the progression in how you look aesthetically is still not that great. You might have lost a few pounds, but what, you've sacrificed your physique, everything, your mental health, for just losing a bit of weight on the scale.
Okay, so what's the answer? So none of this piss and shit detox, whatever it is, diet. I'm going on holiday next week, maybe not next week, the next 2 weeks, and I want to get in a bikini and I want to look super hot. What should I do?
Well, the first thing is, you should have started a lot longer than 2 weeks ago. That's the first thing.
Okay. Okay. Second thing,
find it, look at your lifestyle, and say, for example, we're using weight loss as an example, yeah? Look at your lifestyle, see where there are excess calories getting in, make some, you know, adjustments. If you are having sugar in your hot drinks, and you have a lot of hot drinks, it might be worth swapping to something like stevia, which is like a plant sweetener, yeah. Zero calorie. You may want to try and minimize liquid calories. You might halve carb portions at meals and just add an extra cup of vegetables. So it's got the same volume of food, but less calories. You might eat more lean protein and fiber so that you feel fuller, so you don't fucking feel like you have to go and munch out on the cupboards, you know? And then just include a form of exercise you enjoy. If you like weight training like you do, great. If you don't and you want to go for a walk, you know, whatever it is, you've got to find a sustainable approach.
I mean, we've not talked about training, and as you say, I love training. I love lifting weights. Yeah. And I absolutely say to any women out there, you know, chuck the men out of the weightlifting section and just get in there and lift some weights. Because I actually think that's the only way, that in terms of changing your body composition, not necessarily losing weight, that as well, but changing your body composition, that's, you know, cardio, great. It does, of course, you lose weight and it's good, great for your heart, but it's not going to change your body composition massively, isn't
it? Well, a change in body composition starts really with your diet, because you are losing the weight, but you're talking about shaping your body, building muscle.
Yeah,
and you're so right. Okay. You know, if you are... want to, you know, if you're trying to go for that V-taper look, that look that, you know, women want to have the hourglass, weight training is the key. You're right. Going on running on the treadmill, although it's a great form of exercise, and we shouldn't always look at training as how it affects how we look, because there is that, that's not why we got into training. We got into training for health, for enjoyment. That's what people should train for. But if you want to shape your body, you're right.
And maybe I speak for women out there, they'll say all that shit, but actually what they really want is a banging body.
You're right.
And they'll cover it up with, oh, I need to get fitter.
Yeah.
I wanna look better on the beach.
Yeah.
I just want to get fitter. No, you just want to attract that guy. Or, you know, it's all about, I mean, I think there's too many people that say what they think other people want to hear, but actually bottom line is you just want to look good.
Yeah.
And feel good, right? At the end of the day, it's looking good and feeling good.
For sure. I just feel like the industry needs to move a little bit away from focusing solely on aesthetics.
Mm.
But it's nothing wrong with wanting to improve how you look. It's not. I agree. Weight training is the key, I think.
Moving away from the diet, the weight training, where do you see your... I mean, you've formed this fantastic business. And you've formed it around the controversial aspects of nutrition. Do you think it's just been about that, or do you think there's been more about what, I mean, are there any tips or things that you think you've done that has helped in terms of your own success?
Well, I think people would, you know, some people might sit here and glamorize running a business and, you know, pursuing their dreams, but I think that it's a lot harder than people give it credit for. It's a lot harder. And it does take a certain level of sacrifice, and it takes constant dedication. And I think...
What sort of sacrifice?
Well, you know, time, you end up having to give a lot of time. You end up spending a lot of money, your resources on it. You end up, you know, some days you wake up and you don't want to get out of bed. And, you know, mental health's a big thing at the moment with people. And, you know, somehow you still have to find the energy to get out and pursue what you're doing, even when you don't see the results sometimes, you know. For some people running a business, it may take years before they see the results. And, you know, you've got to have that resilience, I suppose, haven't you, to keep going.
I like that, the resilience and the mental health. Why do you think, because, I mean, I've lived all my life majority of my life in corporate life, and I've also run my own business. And I think the difference is with corporate life, you do have people around you, and you've almost got to get to work because there are people there waiting for you. And obviously you've got a boss usually that's going to be on the other end of the phone. When you're running your own business, that's different. Do you think that's something to do? You're your own boss, right?
It comes with different challenges. I mean, if you think about it, you've got to get out of bed if you work for someone else, because they'll fire you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But also, while it's good, you work for yourself, you can, I suppose, in some ways, in some businesses, if you have that luxury, you can wake up when you want. But the reality is, if you don't get paid, you don't progress. So it comes with a different challenge. You know, it comes with the challenge of, you know, motivating yourself rather than someone externally motivating you by firing you.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think there's something very fulfilling about pursuing your passion, whatever it is. But it's harder than people give credit for. And I think people expect people to believe in their dreams, their passion as much as them. And you've got to go into the world realizing that it's your dream. And, you know, no one's going to believe in your shit as much as you.
Yeah.
So.
And talk to me about, so you mentioned mental health.
Yeah.
Have you suffered with...
Oh, who hasn't, Sonia?
Mental health.
I think we all have, yeah. There's been times in my life, certainly in the last couple of years, where, you know, things have... You know, you go into a dark situation, I suppose.
How dark has it got? Or when you say dark situation, what does that feel like?
I mean, I always used to be one of those people that said, you know, oh, just man up, you know, just deal with it, you know, when someone feels that way. You know, I was very naive to mental health. And then when it hits you and when you're in a situation where you feel like death is easier than life, that's a very messed up situation, you know. Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm not the only one who's felt like this, of course. But yeah, you know, there have been times where it feels harder to live, to get up, to shower, to see people, and I think when you go through that, it sort of humbles you a bit, makes you feel a little bit more appreciation for other people that go through this, and yeah.
How did you get yourself out of that?
Just a good support network, and trying to stay positive, trying to see, you know, I spent a long time looking at things negatively, you know, well, you know, good things would happen, but I'd see the bad in them, and that sort of changed my...
So it was your
mindset.
Completely.
Yeah.
Negative thoughts,
yeah. And it was, for a few months, it was an ongoing cycle of things are getting better, oh, they're getting worse, things are getting better, they're getting worse. And it's still to this day, you know, everyone has their doubts. But, you know, you really just got to try and stay positive and yeah, do what you can.
And maybe look at where those negative thoughts are coming from as well.
Yeah.
Because have you traced that back and thought about where the negativity was coming from? Was it something like from your past?
Not necessarily like past experiences, but I think my default mindset was as a kid going into business. You know, I started my business straight out of uni, 21.
Which is great, but tough at the same time.
Yeah, because you enter it with this naive sense of what it is you're going to achieve. I'm going to have all these nice houses, these nice cars. And you have, you know, you reach a point where you think after a few years, you're like, why has it not happened yet? And I think when I went back into my head and I said to myself, why are you actually getting into business? You know, what is it you're really trying to do? And once I changed that, things got a bit easier.
So you changed the question in your head?
Yeah, I mean, I changed the idea. Instead of going into the world looking for what I want, I was thinking about what I can do to help others and the byproduct of that being financially stable, you know, rather than being rich, the end goal. I thought, you know what, if you make an impact, you have a more fulfilling passion and business. The byproduct of that is making money, you know? So I just feel like my head wasn't in the right place at that time.
Yeah, it's the questions you ask yourself and the fact that you're looking at this as helping others rather than helping yourself.
Yeah.
That is...
Well, I think like I said, if you go through a dark phase in your life, you actually realise that the most important thing, and for me, success is just about being happy. And I think if you can try and make other people feel happy, whether it's in their own skin or whether it's interviewing people to give them nuggets of knowledge to help their lives, I think that's really where the success is.
I mean, we've kept this quite light and, you know, you're really entertaining, but there is a serious side to all this because in the end of the day, we all eat. Every single person on this planet eats.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone eats. you'd be dead. And yet, people are dying of obesity, of diabetics. There's all sorts of diseases out there because of what we are putting into our body. So what you're doing is, essentially, by putting these nuggets out and by making it entertaining, you're saving a lot of people.
I'm just... doing the thing that I feel like I may have been put here to do, you know, and like everyone else is, whether you're creating music to keep people happy. My thing is, I just feel like this makes sense to me, and this is how I can help society and how I can provide something for planet Earth, you know. And I think it doesn't matter what it is, we're all doing the same thing. It's just that this is my purpose, if you like.
Talking about purpose, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Where's the vision going to go?
hopefully in a world where people are a little bit less confused with nutrition and make my job a lot easier. Obesity rates obviously lowering. But for me personally, I just love to be, you know, in a position where I'm helping, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people around the world improving their life through nutrition and helping athletes. I want loads of world champions under my roster. That's what I want.
So on that note, where can people find out about you? Because I know you run a course online. Obviously your Instagram, we're going to put that in the show notes, but do you just want to let everyone know your Instagram?
Yeah, it's Mr. Sport Official, so MRSPORT Official. And my website is MrSport.org.
Fantastic, and that'll go in the show notes.
Thank you.
My final question, Dennis, is if you were to leave a message in a bottle for future generations to find, what would that message be?
Stay hungry, stay humble. Them two. Or the other way around.
Yanis, thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you for having me, Sonia.
Thank you.